The world I live in. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California. The world I live in. We all live in a world. And the world we live in is the world that we choose to live in. But what is the world that we live in? Is the world that we live in the appearance world that we have around us? Is it the world that is in the outer? Or is it the world that is the inner world that we are? Do we live in a world that is a rather spectacular world? Or do we live in a mundane world? It's always our choice. I choose to live in a spectacular world. I choose to live in a world that is ever revealing to me the magic that my thoughts, that my ideas can bring forth. I know no limitation in my thought, because my thought says, go for it, and I go for it. All of the great imagination, all of the great dreams, all of the great thoughts that ever have been thought, are thought by people just like you and me. People who are living on this planet Earth, who are saying to ourselves, well, what's next? What's next? What's new? Or maybe not even saying what's new, but just thinking what's new. And we're always looking at great ideas and saying, yes, that's a possibility. Yes, that's something that could be so. Now, how do I make it be so? How do I bring it about? Well, I don't ask myself that question. I really don't. I don't ask myself the question, how can I accomplish the things that I'm thinking about? I just think about them. I just think about how lovely it is to live in a beautiful, thoughtful world, a world filled with joy and filled with peace and filled with happiness and filled with fun. And as I think about my world filled with peace and joy and happiness and fun, then I think of ideas that are peaceful, joyful, happy, and fun. I think of ideas that are a delight to my heart. I think of happy thoughts. Now, I could think of thoughts that are difficult, but I think of happy thoughts because I am the master of my life. I am the master of my thought. I am the master of my world. And now I have the choice to think any type of thought that I want to think. I have the choice to think of any condition of that thought that I want to think it in. And so I decide that I am going to think my thoughts in beneficial, happy directions. And to think my thoughts in beneficial, happy directions means that I think beneficial, happy thoughts. Now, I'm going to go to the beach. And the sky is overcast, but I say to myself, it's a lovely day at the beach. And I go to the beach. And when I get there, it's a pleasant day. The sky is not too hot, not too brilliant, not too bright, but very lovely. And I can go around the beach, and I can go swimming, and I can go surfing, and I can just have lots of fun. I can visit with friends. I can lay on the sand and not feel like I'm going to be burnt to a crisp. I just enjoy myself thoroughly. And I say, what a joyful day on the beach. I would have thought I would have wanted to have a day of bright sunshine on the beach to have the beach be most enjoyable. But here I am on an overcast day on the beach, and it's warm and delightful, and I feel just wonderful. And I sit here chatting with friends. I don't even have to have my sunglasses on. I can just sit here and enjoy myself in such peace and in such wonder and in such magic. It's really quite a delight, quite a wonderful delight. Now, I'm the creator of my world. Now, I could have created my world as being an unhappy day on the beach. Here it is, my day at the beach, and it's overcast. My day at the beach, and it's not so bright and brilliant and lovely like I would have liked it to be. But instead of that, I create the day at the beach lovely, with an overcast sky, with lovely friends to sit and chat with myself going into the water and being just so cozy and snuggly in the water, and coming out and having the air, the warm air, dry me, and I feel just wonderful. And I sit and I chat with friends. I even play games, and we do all sorts of lovely things. And before you know it, it's time for us to go home. Now, there are people who will say, on an overcast day, you can get burned just as well as you can get burned on a sunny day. And maybe even more, because on a sunny day, you are inclined to protect yourself. Whereas on an overcast day, you're not inclined to protect yourself because you're not thinking about it. Well, that's all a possibility. And that's all a good possibility, but stop and think, what is it that burns you in the sun? Now, the sun's ultraviolet rays are truly something that burn us and something that control us. But there are people, and there are many people, who are exposed to the sun who do not burn with the ultraviolet rays. There are many people, just like you and me, who are out in the sun, who are out in the weather, who are outside, and we don't think of burning, and we don't burn. And there are people who think of burning, and they burn. We say, it's not quite that way. It's a facto, the sun is there, it's hot, its ultraviolet rays are there, our body has skin, and the skin is disturbed by the ultraviolet rays in too great abundance, and cannot handle it too well, and so it burns. Now, if we wish to do that, we can do that. I have had experiences in my life where I have told myself, because I had people coming to visit the ranch or coming to visit at the campus of the University of Philosophy, and they felt that the sun was going to burn them. And I said, no, the sun up here is a beautiful sun. The sun up here does not have to go through all the fog and smog down in the cities or down at the beach. And so up here on the campus, up in the mountains, the sun does not burn you quite like that. It's just a lovely thing. Now, there are people who can be burned by the sun at any altitudes. There are people who can put a cause in motion that the sun is going to be destructive to them, and it is. And then there are people who say the sun is not destructive to them. Not that they say it's not destructive, you see, but the very fact that we say it's not destructive, we are empowering it to be destructive. Now, do we want the sun to be constructive, or do we want it to be destructive? Do we want the sun to bless our skin, to give us a gentle, lovely tan, or do we want the sun to burn the cells in our skin and make them feel uncomfortable and make them have a problem? It's our choice. And you say, well, it doesn't work that way. Well, I say, yes, it does. We have been so long living in a world where some people have had experiences, and then they plant these experiences into the minds of everyone, and they say that is a truth, that is a truism, that is a condition that must happen because it is something that has happened and will happen, and they expect it and they get it, and you don't expect it and you don't get it. I've had so many experiences in my life where people have said to me that there is a condition that exists. And I have had friends come into my world who didn't want that condition to exist. They wanted the condition of peace and harmony and right action to exist. And immediately I painted the picture for them and myself of peace, right action, and harmony. And peace and right action and harmony prevailed. Now, I could have gone the other way. I could have allowed myself to be fretful about the possibility of a lack of peace, a lack of harmony, and a lack of right action, and it would have taken place. Because we live in a world which is created by the law of cause and effect. And the law of cause and effect is at all times active in our life. It doesn't matter. The law of cause and effect does not concern itself with what one might think is right and wrong, good and bad, beneficial or non-beneficial. The law of cause and effect merely says, if you drive a car into a tree, you crash into the tree. And if you speak words of lack and limitation for yourself, you're going to experience lack and limitation for yourself. If you live in the consciousness of abundance, you will experience a consciousness of abundance. If you live in a world where the sun is a lovely, blessed thing that caresses your body and addresses itself to all of the lovely things, giving you vitamin D and giving you vitamin C and giving you all the essential elements that the sun can provide for your body, then that's what you experience. Now, what is it that you want in your life? What is it that you would like to have? The world I live in is my choice. The world I live in is a world that I have put into motion for the activities that I would like to experience. Now, I can have any world I want. I can live in any world that I choose. I can have any experience I want in my world. And my world is very ready to reveal it to me, very ready to give it to me. Now, why is my world ready to give to me whatever I want? Whatever I would like to experience, whatever is in my consciousness as something desirable, beneficial, and joyful for me. Now, why is my world ready to release, reveal that into my experience? The reason my world is ready to reveal that in my experience is that everything, every thought ever thought, already exists as a fact. Every attitude that is ever maintained already exists as a fact. Every good, bad, and indifferent experience that man could ever have, or that I could ever have, always keeping it in the first person present tense positive, any experience I could ever have is already existing now in my universe, in my world, in my thought, in my life, in my affairs, right now. You say, well, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to say I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire. I'm very wealthy. I'm very, very wealthy. And the fact is, you and I are very wealthy. But we are only as wealthy as we really allow ourselves to be. If you look at the stars and the moon, and you look at the birds and the bees and the trees, if you look at the flowers and you look at the people, you look at the world in which you live, and you say, what an abundant world I live in. There are so many beautiful things in the world. There are so many beautiful flowers. There are so many beautiful trees, beautiful people. Oh, what a beautiful world I live in. And lo and behold, what a beautiful world I live in. For my world is a reflection of my thought. And my world is truly the reflection of my thought, not just hopefully, but truly. My world is truly the reflection of every abundant idea that I have ever had in my mind. And if I have in my mind a thought of love, of peace, of harmony, of goodness, of abundance, then that's what I experience. Truly. But it must be something very natural. My thought cannot be connived, cannot be manipulated, cannot be anticipated from the point of view that it's not existing now. My thought dwells in the idea it already is. My thought dwells in the idea that everything already exists in its actual fulfillment right now in my life and my affairs. I don't think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be happy? I am happy. I am happy. I'm thinking joyous thoughts. I'm thinking joyous concepts. I'm looking at a joyous world, and I see everybody in my world being themselves and having fun. I see everybody in my world being themselves and having fun. I see everybody in my world being themselves and having fun. Why do you say continuously being themselves and having fun? Because that's the key. That's the key. When you are yourself and having fun, then you are who you are now. It's not a matter that you will be, would like to be, or would dream about being yourself. You are yourself. Now, who is this self that you are? Who is this self that is your reality? Who is this self that makes up who you are? Well, this self that makes up who you are is yourself. This self that makes up who you are is the delight of your life. This self that makes up who you are is the happiness, the joy, the peace, and the harmony that fulfills every aspect of your life. As I live my life and I am myself and have fun, I am delighting in every activity of my world. The world I live in is my reflection. The world I live in is what thought I have in my mind. Now, what thought do I have in my mind? What thought is going on in my world? What thought is going on in my life that tells me how wonderful everything is? What thought? Well, I think a thought of a lovely tree, and I look at the tree, and it's lovely. Now, you look at that same tree, and you say, oh, that tree is not so lovely. Look at all the dead leaves. Look at the dead branches on it. Look at how it's imperfect here and there. And as you look at the tree, you dwell upon the imperfection of the tree, and you experience the imperfection of the tree. Now, I look at the same tree, and I see the tree as a beautiful living expression of delight and magic. I see the leaves popping out in their absolute perfect form. I see every leaf divinely designed, divinely directed. I see every leaf green and lovely and glorious. I see the chlorophyll acting within the leaves and within the stem of the plant. And I see everything going along so gorgeous. I see the tree as a wonderful expression of a magnificent concept. I see the tree spreading out its leafy arms and shining them, opening them toward the heavens and letting the sunlight, oh, the glorious sunlight, bring into the leaf every constituent that it needs to grow happily. It does not gain its nutrients from the ground. It does not gain its sustenance from the ground. It merely anchors itself there and allows itself to grow. It reaches into the heavens and receives the blessings of the universal light. Light is the essence of what makes the tree grow. Without light, the tree would not grow. The tree seed reaches up from beneath the soil, reaching up to the light. And the light is what gives it its essence, gives it its substance, gives it its beingness. And the light is always there and always pure and always wonderful and always glorious. And the tree, each moment it lives, it expresses this light that shines on it, in it, and through it. And every aspect of the tree functions in divine order. Oh, some of the branches that are covered down below that do not have enough sunlight might drop away. But even those branches, if given an opportunity, will spread out. Will spread out to receive the light of the sun. They will spread out from below the lower branches and reach out and say, hey, I want to see that, Mr. Sun, too. I like that. And out they go. Oh, we have seen trees in the forest where their lower branches don't get sunlight and they wither and die. Or they fall away as useless appendages that are not beneficial. And then, lo and behold, the forest is cut around the trees and light can come in again once again to the lower area. And little nubbins of the tree come out again. Little branches want to search out the sun and want to reach out and say, oh, there you are, I see you, I see you. And out they come. The world I live in is a world of magic, a world of music, a world of excitement. The world I live in is a world that's filled with so much that is a joy, so much that is peace, and so much that is goodness. Yes. Yes, I look at all of my creation, and I see it good and very good. I look at all the plants and all the trees and all the creatures in the world, all the birds and the bees, and I look at all the humans. Oh, yes. I look at all the humans in the world I live in. And I see every human as being a positive, uplifting, beautiful being. I see every human expressing itself in a joyous, wonderful way. I see every human delighting in life. I see every human being a radiant light themselves, sunshine itself, smiles on their face, smile from every cell of their body, smiles from every hair follicle, smiles from every thought they think. Yes, every thought my creation think is a loving, happy, uplifting, glorious thought. Oh, yes. The world I live in is a spectacular world. The world I live in is an ever-revealing world, a world that's constantly revealing exactly what it is. But the world I live in is the world of my thought. Because I thought tree, I thought flower, I thought bird, I thought bee, I thought man, I thought me. I thought each thought, and each thought manifested itself according to how I thought it. Now, when we were little children in elementary school, our teachers would say to us, "All right, class, we're going to learn all about plants. Oh my goodness, we're going to learn about plants." And each one of us was given a little tiny Dixie cup filled with soil, and we were given one seed. And we didn't really know what the seed was, but we were given one seed. And we were each taught how to place that seed in the middle of the dirt in the Dixie cup so that it could reach its roots down and be covered up until it was ready to come. And then we were taught not to water too much, just enough to keep it moist. And we learned how much water was enough to keep it moist. For the room had a tendency to be a dry room. It was indoors. And in the wintertime and summertime, it was always very pleasant in our schoolroom. Never hot, never cold, just pleasant. And our Dixie cup was set on the window of our class. And our name was printed boldly on it. Herbert, Thomas, Mary, Jane. And there it sat. And we were given a little cup that was butter oftentimes comes in it in a restaurant. And it's a little butter cup. That's not a flower. It's a butter cup, a cup in which butter comes. And it's one of these things that sort of folds out like a piece of paper. And we go to the sprinkling can, and we take a little bit of water and we drip it into the buttercup. And then we take the buttercup and we put it over our plant. We put it right over the middle because that's where the seed is, and we let it soak down into the soil. Now, we take the buttercup back to our desk and we put it in our desk. And tomorrow, or whenever the teacher tells us, we once again water our plant. And as we water our plants, we say, "Oh, I'm going to have such a beautiful plant. Oh, such a lovely plant. Oh, I'm just looking forward to the plant." And the days go by. And the plant is setting in the sun and the window. And every time we're told to water it, we go and water it. We don't water it more than that, just as much as the teacher tells us to water it. Because we're learning. We're having a lesson. We're having a lesson in how we create. How we bring forth out of the infinite nothingness something quite beautiful. Well, as the days progress, we see a little squiggly thing coming out of the middle of our Dixie cup. And we say, "Oh, hey, my plant's starting to grow. Look at that." And some children say, poofy poo. And this is nothing. This is kid stuff. This is junk. And their plant somehow seems to suffer. It doesn't come up as nicely as the rest of the kids who say, oh, I got the most wonderful plant in the world. You're a good plant. Oh, I love you. I'm going to name you. Your name is Happy Girl. And your name is Butch. Your name is Mary. Whatever name we want to give our plant. Maybe we give the plant our own name. Your name is Herb. And we look at the plant. We go over to see Herb. And we say, hi, Herb. How you doing? And little by little, the plant sticks its nose up through the soil and starts growing toward the sky. And it's looking at the sun coming through the window of our classroom. Well, after a short time, the plant is growing more fully, and the plant is getting larger. And as it gets larger, leaves are beginning to come on the stem. And the leaves are sort of ordinary. You think, what kind of a plant is this going to be? Well, now, what the teacher has done, the teacher has taken five little packages of seeds, five different packages of seeds, and mixed them all up. And in mixing them all up, nobody knew what seed they were going to get. But there were enough seeds for all the kids in the class, all 30 of the kids in the class. And so we didn't know, and nobody knew, but you took the seed and you planted it there, and my seed was Herb. And my seed grew strong and powerful. And my seed began to turn, the stem began to turn a dark color. It was a dark green, not the light, lovely green like some of the other kids had. Mine was a dark green. And I said to the teacher, I said, how come my stem is dark green? And the teacher says, well, you'll see. Each one of the plants is very special. And you'll see how the color of the stem and the color of the plant indicate what the plant is going to be and how it's going to grow and what it's going to do. So the days went by, and we blessed this plant, and other kids thought, who cares? And their plants suffered from the lack of love. And ours, mine especially, oh, it grew from the abundance of love that I gave it. Because I call myself all the time Mr. Love. Even when I'm a little boy, I call myself Mr. Love. Because my neighbors call me Mr. Love. My friends call me, even my family call me Mr. Love. They said, oh, you're a love all the time. You're a love. You're a love. You're a love. You're Mr. Love. And I said, thank you very much. I accept. So I said to my plant, I said, Herb, you're Mr. Love. You're going to grow so beautifully and so wonderfully. I'm looking forward to you being so fantastic. Well, Mr. Love grew. Oh, Mr. Love grew very well. And as Mr. Love grew, he developed into some very lovely stem and very lovely leaves. But they were darker than most of the other kids. There were a few other dark stems too, but most of them were lighter stems. And Mr. Love just grew. And then, one weekend, I came back on Monday, and my plant had fallen on the floor. And its roots were out of the dirt, and it was just laying on the floor. And it was so nice and tall, it was so beautiful, but it was dried on the floor. And I said, teacher, what can I do? And the teacher said, well, Herb, do you love your plant? Oh, yes. Well, you take your plant, and you take your Dixie cup, and you hold your plant in the middle of your empty Dixie cup. And then you take your fingers, and you scoochle the dirt around so that it falls like a powder around the roots. Just scoochle it around and let it fall in there. And then, as it falls in there, it'll surround each one of the roots, and then it'll make a hole for the roots. But teacher, it fell out, it's going to die. Herb, if you think it's going to die, it'll die. If you think it's going to live, it's going to live. It's up to you what you think. Oh, teacher, my thinking is going to do it. Yes, Herb, you know that. You know that love brings about wonderful things. But my plant fell on the floor. And the teacher says, Herb, that's not like you. You're a happy boy. Now, you do as I suggest, and you watch and see. So, all the rest of the kids in the class were watching me, and they were seeing what I was doing. And I said, all right. And I put on my happy face, and I said, Herb, to my plant, Herb, I love you. I'm sorry you got knocked on the floor, but I love you. Now, Herb, nothing can stop you from growing, Herb, because you are filled with my love. And I took bits of the dirt and picked it up and scooched it in around the plant. And I took a sheet of paper and I sort of dusted the dirt from the floor onto the piece of paper and put it in around my plant. My plant was now, the roots all covered nicely, and I gently touched them down, not firm, but just gently. And then my teacher came along and said, that's beautiful, Herb. You have made that so nice. Your plant surely loves its new coating of dirt that you've given him. Okay, teacher, now when can I put the water on? When can I put the water on? Now just a bit, Herb. Just relax. Let the roots get used to having the soil there again. And then once the soil is there and used to it, we'll just take a half a buttercup and put water on it. A half? But that's so tiny. We'll put it right in the middle and right down the stem. But teacher, I'd like to give it more water. I'd like to give it lots of water because it's so thirsty. No, because it's so thirsty, it might drink the waters too fast and drown. It might get too much. Just put a little on there. Okay. So I put just a little. My teacher was a loving, gentle teacher who taught by her real caring about each of her students. And I put a little bit of water on. The next day, I said, teacher, can I put more water on? No, just a half cup. And so, again, I put on just a half a cup. And I made sure it was just a little teeny weeny bit more than a half a cup, but still half a cup. And I put it on there. And a week went by, and then the teacher says, all right, now you can put a full cup of water on there. And so, it was just before the weekend, and I put the full cup of water on there, a little buttercup of water in my little Dixie cup. And my plant was looking good. The leaves were beginning to sort of lift up again from their sort of a wilted affair. And I said, gee, my plant's doing great. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And my plant looked at me and said, yeah, sure. I know you love me. Well, Monday when we came to class, my plant was sitting in the window. And my plant was taller than anybody else's plant in the class. And everybody came over and said, Herb, how come your plant's taller than ours? Your plant had a trauma. It had a disturbance. It fell on the floor and it thought it wasn't loved. That's right. But my plant knows that I love it because I told it. I told everyone. I said, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, come on now. Yes, it did. Now look. So, it was time to give my plant its water for the day. And so I gave it a full little buttercup of water. And the plant just looked at me and smiled. Yes, it smiled at me. And it sort of stretched its leaves out a little more fully and sort of opened them up a little more fully. And every day my plant grew and grew and grew. And then my teacher came along and she gave us each a paper cup. Not a Dixie cup, but a paper cup. And the paper cup was filled with dirt. Each one. 30 paper cups. Well, most of the kids in the class, their seeds had not grown very tall. It didn't need to be transferred from the Dixie cup because it just didn't grow. But there were a number of us whose plants were growing so great. So we took the plant out of the Dixie cup, keeping all the dirt around it. We had dirt in the other cup already, and then we let the dirt slip in around the side of the part where the Dixie cup had been holding the outer edge of our plant. And then we just took another thimbleful, just another buttercup full of water, and put it on our plant. Well, it wasn't long before the plant outgrew the cup. But by this time, it was time for us to go home for our holiday. And we all were allowed to take our plants home for our holiday. And we took our plants home for our holiday. And I took my plant home, but I made sure that as I carried it home, I covered it with my coat so it wouldn't get cold outside. It wasn't cold, but it was cooler than the classroom. And when I got home, I put it in the window of my bedroom. And I took the thimble, the buttercup, full of water, and gave it the water. Not too much. I followed exactly what my teacher taught me. And when it was time to go back to school again, after our week's vacation, I took my plant back to school. Now, none of the other kids took their plant back to school because their plants had died. All 29 plants died. And my teacher said, "Where are your plants, boys and girls?" And each one confessed that their plant had died because they forgot to water it, because they put it in too hot a sun, or they put it in a place where there was no sun, and they forgot to tell the plant how much they loved it. But I didn't. I did. I'm Mr. Love. You know that. You know what I told you. I'm Mr. Love. And so I'd always tell my plant every day, "Hi, Mr. Plant, I love you. I love you." And I told my plant before I went to bed at night, "Hi, Mr. Plant, I love you." When I get up in the morning, I said, "Hi, Mr. Plant, I love you." When I come in from playing, I'd go into my room and I'd say, "Mr. Plant, I love you, I love you." And Mr. Plant was filled with such love. His name is Herb, you know. Herb was filled with such love that he just grew and grew and grew. And my teacher said, "Okay, Herb, you take your plant home now. It is better that you take your plant home." So that day, the first day, I took my plant home again. And I grew it into a beautiful, tall plant. Now, my teacher didn't want me to have my plant at school to show off that I didn't forget my plant, that I remembered every moment of time that my plant was with me to say, "I love you." My teacher didn't want me to be in front of the rest of the kids in school who forgot to say they loved their plant and had them die. She didn't want me to have that experience. But I did have the experience of knowing that my love nourished my plant. My love nourished me, and my love nourished all of my world. And all of my world became better and better and better because I took charge. Now, you say, "Oh, come on now, that's not true." Yes, it is true. All over the world, children in elementary school are given the opportunity by their teachers to grow plants or something of that nature. And as they do this, if their teacher is wise, their teacher would inspire them and encourage them to realize that their individual love that they pour out on the plant returns in magnificence unbelievable. And that each plant comes back in a flow of beauty and goodness that is the way everything in life works. Everything that we truly love, we love with the depth of our heart. Oh, I love it. It's so wonderful. When we can turn on that love that's within us onto anything in our world, it returns to us with all the magnificence that our love can espouse in it. What is it that I want for myself? Do I want a happy life? Then I love my life. Do I want happy circumstances in my life, in my world? Then I love the circumstances in my life. Do I want happy people to surround me in my world and be part of my life and part of all that I am? Then I love them. I love them because I love me. And as I love them and I love me, they shine forth in such a glory, in such a wonderment, in such a magnificence, in such a goodness, that that's what it's all about. The world I live in is the world I, moment by moment, create with my thought. I, moment by moment, bring forth, using the law of cause and effect, by my choice. The choices that I give to my world are what my world is and what my conditions in my world are. And as I think happy thoughts about my world is a happy place. As I think abundant thoughts, I'm always abundant. I always have enough to accomplish anything I want to do whenever I want to do it. Whatever the desire of my heart is, it just falls into place for me. Even when my plant got knocked over onto the floor and I lovingly picked it up and believed in it. I just didn't throw it out because it was drying and wilting. I loved it back into existence again because the life principle was in the plant, just waiting for me to give it my nurturing love. And as I gave my life principle in the plant my nurturing love, it blossomed forth into a glorious, wonderful, wholesome plant. This is how I treat every area of my life. I treat every area of my life as a loving adventure, and I say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And every adventure in my life says, I know. Isn't it wonderful? And I say, yes, it's wonderful. Yes, it's wonderful. And every area of my life, every experience in my life, every person in my life is pure love, pure, fabulous love, shining forth, glowing, glowing like the sun. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Like the amount of water I gave to my little plant. Not too much, not too little, just enough. And everything that I do in my life, I nurture it with my love. The world I live in is a world of the purest, most magnificent love. And everything that I do is love. Unconditionally, I love my world. Unconditionally, I give to my world all that I am in my heart. Unconditionally, I reach out to my world and I say, what a wonderful world you are! Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness! And I flow. And I do everything just right. There are times when I want to work harder and do more than I probably should. But my world is a blessing to me. The other day I was going to go and do a lot of dragging and fixing with the tractor. Now that's a good amount of work. And I'd already done a good amount of work loading logs into the tractor to take it up and put it for the fireplace and so forth along with Ellen. And it was a great and good experience, but it was it took energy. And so I was going to go and do this with the tractor and drag and work. And my body said, you don't want to do that. And I said, yes, I do. So what happened? the world takes care of me. The world loves her. I tell you, the world loves her. What happens? I turned the key to the tractor and it went tick, 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 tick. And it said, I'm low on my battery or whatever. I got a little problem here. Tick, 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 tick. And this happens to our handyman every once in a while, but he never told me about it. But tick, 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 tick. So I mentioned that to Ella, and she says, oh, well, we'll have to see what we can do about that. Well, it just so happened that the rain came, and we didn't get anything done. And I went inside and did my inside work. And so my excessive labors outside were curtailed by the tick, tick, tick of the tractor's starting mechanism. Now you say, well, from your experience and from your knowledge and from your genius in working with tractors and motors and engines and batteries, you know exactly what it is. Well, that's fine. I learned exactly what it was too. But you see, life and nature take care of me. It makes sure that I do not overexert myself so that I will not have harmonious muscles and have harmonious body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and my body is divine, is absolutely perfect. And I never overexert myself. I always exert myself in a harmonious, beautiful way. And when I am done with any program, whether it's walking the 4-mile campus path to do the meditation path around the campus every morning, or whether I am walking with the dog and he's pulling, or he is walking beside me or doing something just terrific, or whether I'm sitting at my desk working on my computer, my fingers just dancing over the keys and singing out the melody of love and peace and harmony, or whether I'm sitting on my chair comfortably having a cup of coffee and reading the literature that I receive every day, or whether it's just quietly meditating. Oh, meditation can be a great deal of energy. Not that I'm expending it making something happen, but I'm in the flow. When I meditate in the flow. I live what I meditate about. I meditate upon happiness and joy and peace and harmony, and I am in that flow. My whole body tingles, my whole body vibrates. I feel goosebumps all over me. I feel just alive. It's so good. It's so fantastic. My goodness sakes. They say that the great mathematical wizards and the scientific men who work on science and physics and so forth, they burn far more energy than the athlete on the track or the football team or wherever. That in their mind, the work that they do in their mind takes far more energy, far more actual calories than it does out on the sports field. Now, whether that's true or not, it's an interesting concept. And perhaps that's why most of the scientists are rather thin people, because they are working so much of their energy through their mental activity. You and I, we work our mental activity through our mind too. And we don't need to have an outward experience to have an inward experience. For in our mind, we can see ourselves canoeing down the river. We can see ourselves jumping out of an airplane, with a parachute, of course. We can see ourselves doing loop-de-loops in the fun park. We can see ourselves walking with our dog, and we see our dog walking lovingly beside us, being very obedient to our request for him. We see all these things because these are what our life is made up of. These are what our thoughts are made up of. These are what we are made up of. The world I live in is the world I am. the world I live in, is the world that I have created by my thought. The world I live in is the world that I have brought forth by all the magic that is within me, all the genius that is within me, all the miracle that is within me. That's the world that I live in. And the world I live in is a very wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling world. It's a world filled with magic, filled with all sorts of things that make it so exciting and so delightful and so revealing to everything that is good and beautiful. The world I live in is the world that I create by my thought. I create it by my thought, and I call the world I live in good and very good. I call the air I breathe beautiful, delightful air. The water I drink is pure and satisfying to the nth degree. The temperature of the world in which I live is always humbly, joyfully, comfortably mine. All that I am is beautiful and good because my body is a temple of the living spirit, and it is that which I am. My body is the allness, the goodness, the totality of all that is beautiful in life. The world that I live in is the world that I create. And like my little plant, I nurture it, I love it, I encourage it, and my world is a reflection back to me of all the love, the encouragement, and the caring that I am. To the extent that I love me, I love my world. To the extent that I love my world shines back love upon me, with unconditional love. I look out upon my world with unconditional love. I surround my world with all that is good and beautiful. I need nothing back from my world, but my world gives everything back to me that I give out to it. My world is a reflection of every good and beautiful thing that I am. The world I live in is a mighty spectacular world. How about your world? Is it mighty spectacular? Well, I can tell you one thing. I'm your creator, and I create you in my world as living in a mighty spectacular world. And you are mighty spectacular, because you're in my world, and you are wonderful. You do everything that is for your highest and best at all times, just as I do everything that is for my highest and best at all times. I create in my world every good and beautiful thought, and every good and beautiful thought reflects back to me what my creation is. And as it reflects back to me what my creation is, it is truly good and very good. And my creation goes on and on and on, never ending. And all the beings in my creation are healthy. All the beings in my creation are wealthy. All the beings in my creation are happy. All the beings in my creation are fulfilled in every desire and dream in their heart. All creations in my world are my creation, and all creation in my world I created, and all creation in my world are good and very good. Just like I am good and very good, because I created me this way. That's my choice, that's my opportunity, that's my possibility, And that's what it's all about. That is indeed the world that I live in. I love you. I love you. I love you.